This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, and for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
I always believe in prayer. I believe in prayer when I go to church, back home. And if a Buddhist monk is wishing me well, I'm going to take whatever good vibes he can give me.
We have a president and a political party dedicated to the proposition that an entire class of human beings can be set aside to be killed. That is no light matter.
Most other people call it contemporary worship. It's not contemporary. It's 200 years old. It's called revivalism.
He says to them, "You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and I will show you what God's payment is. I will be the payment that you cannot be."
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I don't know if I'm ready for this. I have a very long weekend. We had one of those Saturdays where we were planning on doing nothing. We end up doing everything, even put up Christmas lights. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, and we put up Christmas lights. We are that far ahead at the Wilkin House. And it might seem we're kind of behind here on this Monday afternoon because we're going to kick it off with the first hour of Issues Etc. comment line and listener email and blog of the week, which we normally do on Friday. But on Friday, we had to cut Issues Etc. comment line and email short because we had Alan Cooperman of the Pew Forum on to be timely and talk about that new poll that they've done post-election on how religious people voted. And then we also talked with Bill McKeever about post-election Mormonism, just an attempt to be timely here on Issues Etc. So we had so much left over from Friday here on this Monday afternoon. We're going to do listener email, Issues Etc. comment line, and blog of the week in the first hour of the program. We are coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 19th of November. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After the first hour, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Larry Rast, remembering 13th century princess and philanthropist Elizabeth of Hungary. She's remembered by the church on this day. Then George Conger of GetReligion.org joins us. We'll talk about the New York Times, mostly its coverage of adultery and homosexuality in Pakistan. And then a little Spanish newspaper covering, or actually several Spanish newspapers covering same-sex marriage in Spain. And then a sermon review on this Monday afternoon. We thought since this coming Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year, we would listen to a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the famous parable that ends the church year for so many. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We'll get to some of your email here in just a minute. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. So just before we get to that email, Jeff, I don't even think the Schwarzes, who are, I know what you guys are like because your wife is so organized. I don't think you guys even have your Christmas lights up yet, do you?
Absolutely not.
We actually, and you know what we did? We found out, although we'd forgotten, that we'd been so organized last year that we had it all organized by bush. You know, we have each of the bushes in the front. We had it marked each string for what bush it goes on. And we successfully, last year I had to go to Walmart 4 times the afternoon we put up Christmas lights to get more Christmas lights. We successfully put them all up. No trips to Walmart. It was amazing.
Efficiency.
It was. We sat down. We said, "What just happened?" And we got our grocery shopping done in the same day. So
now your lovely bride didn't try to coax you into putting maybe a few more on this year.
No,
the process went so quickly.
No, I have a strict limit. If I can't reach it, it doesn't get lit. And since the trees are too tall and I don't do backyard bushes like some people do. And I said, if I have to make a trip to Walmart, we stop and we don't do it this year. And I didn't have to make a trip to Walmart.
Do you do anything on the house?
She does wreaths.
No, but I mean, like lights, do you do any like from gutters?
No, no, we don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I've got a ranch house that's got vaulted ceilings And the older I get, it's terrible. But you know, my 78-year-old father,
yeah,
my neighbor's going to be a hard time. He's up there. He's got more guts than me.
I'm sorry. You know? I'm afraid of going on the roof. I'm just absolutely petrified. I didn't used to be. I used to clean up my gutters by walking along the edge of the roof with the power hose back in my young and foolish days. But now, I'm terrified of going up on the roof.
Hey, so we just had a caller said, what's Wilkin? It's not even Advent yet, and Wilkin's putting Christmas lights up.
Hey, it's called having a wife that wants to get all this stuff done in advance. And we've been married 25 years, and I learned a long time ago that when she says it's time to put up the Christmas lights, guess what? It's time to put up the Christmas lights. So
yet
we don't get to light them until she has a day that we are able to light them. They don't get lit. They only got lit one time so we could test them and see if they look good. But we don't light them yet. We just put them up.
Let me just say it's been, what, 2.5 months for me being married now? 2.5 months? And 2.5 great months. Don't get me wrong.
And you haven't learned a thing, have you?
But the thing that I have learned is that the more you get done, the more you do. So that would say to me, see, I try to hang out and wait as long as I can, because then when it gets done, maybe I should just go over there and be quiet. And hopefully Tori's not listening. I'll let you and Jeff.
That's a good idea. You go. You sit down and shut up. Because
I can't believe you just said that on the radio. I hope Tori's not listening.
Look, Craig, before you worry about the Christmas lights, you should mow the lawn. That's what I told my wife. I said, decorating your house with Christmas lights, if you haven't trimmed your bushes, I also trim the bushes too. If you haven't trimmed your bushes or mowed your lawn, is like decorating a dirty house. Why do it?
Craig did mow his lawn this weekend. I asked him what he did this weekend. He mowed the lawn. It's that, what, bi-monthly lawn mowing session.
Maybe
that
that's
Craig
why
has.
His arms are so sore, and it wasn't him going to the gym and bench pressing 450 pounds.
Or it could have been that letter he received from the city of Troy. Is this lot vacated?
Do we need to send someone over to condemn this house?
Right, exactly.
All right, email.
Email. This is, comes from Gunner. He says, hello, I'm a 16-year-old who attends Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois. I was in Tuscola? Isn't that where you were this weekend, too? Craig went to Tuscola this weekend. This is crazy. You mentioned mowing grass. Craig did it. First email mentions Tuscola.
And you saw him in a restaurant, didn't you?
What's that?
You saw him out and about on the town this weekend, didn't
no,
you?
No, that was a couple weekends
oh,
ago.
Oh, okay,
in
I'm sorry.
Anyway, so I apologize for getting sidetracked. I just can't believe I just read an email about talking about Craig's weekend cutting grass, and then this guy attends Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, where Craig went this weekend to shopping outlets. He said, I won't go there. I was wondering what the church's stance on theoretical physics is. Please, Pastor Wilkin, explain that to me and the rest of our listeners. I would like to be one when I'm older, and I was curious whether or not it is possible to be a devout Lutheran and also be a theoretical physicist. Also, does the Bible have anything to say for or against this topic? Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Gunner in Tuscola, Illinois.
Well, I think it's a rather insightful question. I am not a theoretical physicist, so I can't explain it in any kind of detail. I do read on the subject. It happens to be, I tell people I like to read books that I can't understand. I like to read books that stretch my ability and remind me that I'm not as smart as I think I am. Okay, I like to read books like that, written by people smarter than me on subjects that my mind cannot grasp. And one of them has been at least popularly written text on theoretical physics. And there's no stance, so to speak. The stances that the Lutheran Church takes that may rub up against the ideas that are popular nowadays in theoretical physicists are obviously a 7-day creation. Obviously, young Earth, relatively young Earth, a divine creation altogether. Those are all the things that not all of theoretical physics, but much of theoretical physics is obsessed in the last 150 years, really, with origins, with where everything came from, and that is to say where the universe came from. And we need some bright minds in theoretical physics. There's a great book that you ought to read. It's called The Problem with Physics. I highly recommend that you read it, and the author of that book basically says, look, we haven't really come up with any new ideas that are actually science. That is, not just pure speculation by some guys who want to make a name for themselves. We haven't come up with any really, truly scientific ideas. That is, things that can be tested in about 80 years in theoretical physics. You know, you hear a lot nowadays about the Higgs boson that they allege to have found, or maybe they found. That's an old idea. That's an incredibly old idea. That's almost an 80-year-old idea. So while there's not a brain drain, there's a science drain in theoretical physics. So I highly recommend that a devout Christian and a Lutheran go into the field. Just don't be willing, while you can talk about these things as theory, and you can work within the framework of those models that they use, which is, just very roughly put, a Big Bang. That's also passe, but very roughly speaking, you can work within that framework to do your job as working models for doing your job as a physicist and still not believe that the universe came into being 15 billion years ago. That's just like I can sit down and read the books that say over and over again that the universe came into being out of nothing, essentially, or as something that we can't detect 15 billion years ago, and I don't have to believe it. I can still enjoy the book. I can still learn. I can still try, as I might, to understand the theories. So I would not warn you against it in any way whatsoever. I think we really need more devout Christian men and women who are good scientists. And theoretical physics is the one that really needs the brains right now. People thinking, not just thinking about what could be, but actually trying to discover what is rather than thinking about what could be. You read a lot of books on theoretical physics. It's some very bright people saying, well, this could be. Maybe this could be, but they've almost given up on trying to discover what is. So fascinated are they with what could be. But remember, you don't want to compromise on those things where God's word speaks clearly. God's word speaks clearly on the origins of this universe and of man. It speaks clearly on who created this universe and how long it took him to do it. And those are the things that I wouldn't encourage any Christian to compromise on. So, for the very little that I know on the subject, that's my best advice. We'll be right back with more email, the Issues Etc. comment line, and Issues Etc. blog of the week. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just hooked me a little. Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012. And we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues ETC.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Jeff is holding forth in there. He's holding court. He's got his court jester is right beside him, Craig, and he's saying what is and what isn't.
We need one of those court jester hats for Craig for Christmas. You know, we don't have Christmas gifts exchange here at Lutheran Public Radio. Maybe this year you and I should chip in and get him one of those court jester hats. Wouldn't he look good in
some of those shoes with the bells on the end when he walks around?
I don't think we find any his size, will we? Elf shoes?
No. No.
Yeah, we get that costume Will Ferrell wore in Elf.
That's Craig. A great idea.
Hey, speaking of Christmas,
yeah,
our good friend M-Pop, Michael Patrick O'Connor from Maryland, he sent a text in, and he's, of course, the developer of the Issues Etc. Android app. He says, tell Todd that he hasn't put up a Christmas tree for the last 3 years. Yay for being single, says M-Pop.
Oh, my goodness. What? I'm kind of at a loss for words there because I would not trade. I'd put up a Christmas tree every day. My wife doesn't listen to this show, so this really means something when I'm saying it. I would put up a Christmas tree every day if I had to, rather than be single. Now, I'm not saying anything against you, M-Pop. Nothing against you or any of the other single people out there. I'm just saying married life is that good. I'd put up a Christmas tree every day if it meant staying married. So,
I don't
know
what
to say. If it takes putting up a Christmas tree to keep her happy, then that's what's going to happen.
Okay, back to email. Rick, my question is
sorry, M-Pop.
My question is regarding the Lord's Supper and the forgiveness of sins. I'm a member of a Lutheran church, but it's difficult for me to fully accept that we receive forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. My early Christian days were spent in a church body that held to a memorial view of communion, so I'm fighting that as well. My question is, if Jesus meant that the forgiveness of sins is being given in communion, why would he not have said, do this for the forgiveness of sins, instead of, do this in remembrance of me? That has always bothered me. Thanks for the email, Rick.
Okay, well, he actually does say that the Lord's Supper is to be eaten and drunk for the forgiveness of sins. He says it in Matthew's version of the story of the Last Supper, of the Lord's Supper there. And he explicitly connects not only the remembrance of him, but also the forgiveness of sins with the eating and drinking of his body and blood. Look, if Jesus, this is how Luther explained it. If Jesus wanted to attach the promise of forgiveness to you bending over and picking up a piece of straw off the ground, wouldn't you bend over and pick up a piece of straw off the ground? And he has attached this promise of forgiveness not to a piece of straw, but to his very body and blood given there with the bread and wine. I mean, how much more should we treasure this thing? How much more should we say, look, this isn't how the church has chosen to do it. This isn't how Pastor Wilkins chosen to do it. This isn't how Luther chose to do it. This is how Christ chose to communicate his death and resurrection to us. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim his death until he comes. He talks about this cup being a participation in his blood, this bread being a participation in his body. I don't know what else you get by eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus than the forgiveness of sins. That's what his body's for. That's what his blood was shed for. I don't know how you could get his body and blood without getting the forgiveness of sins, honestly. Now, there are people, Paul says, that there are those who receive this, not discerning the body, who do not receive forgiveness. They receive judgment upon themselves. And I mean, that's the apostolic warning. The apostolic warning is, this is to be approached as a meal that is given to you for forgiveness. Not given to fill your stomach, not given to help you. It's not a wine tasting. It's not a chance to rub shoulders with your friends. It's not a chance just to get together and feel good about one another. It is Christ himself coming in his body and blood to give you the forgiveness of sins. Now, Matthew has it in, let me look here real quick. Matthew has it in his version of the institution of the Lord's Supper, where he's talking about the cup and he says, and this is for the forgiveness of sins. And I got to go back one chapter. I'm sorry. Why would Jesus do this? It's hard for me to believe. Of course it's hard to believe. That's why faith clings not to its own doubts, to the doubts of the mind or the heart, but faith clings solely to the word of Christ. And Christ, if Christ says this is his body, then it is. If he says eat it and drink it, then you should. And if he says it is given to you, not only as a remembrance, but also for the forgiveness of your sins, then what is there that, what is it that you want to quibble with Christ for? Why would you be arguing with Jesus? Just, let me just point you to the verse. It's Matthew 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, that should be enough to tell anybody that forgiveness is coming their way. If this is the body of Jesus, and the body is the price that won our forgiveness, then forgiveness is coming your way. And he took the cup, and while he had, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood, my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So he did connect it to the forgiveness of sins. He gave it to his whole church for that very reason. Now here's a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about the health care mandate and paying taxes to Caesar.
This is Mike in Strasburg, Illinois, calling from my Issues Etc. iPhone app in reaction to the pastor's roundtable last week regarding paying taxes to Caesar. They began to touch on the subject just a little bit, but I still have a question. Our vocation as citizens permits us to petition the government to change its policies that we find objectionable when we are asked to act directly in a blasphemous or immoral way. We certainly must obey God rather than men. My conundrum lies with the recent Supreme Court decision regarding the individual mandate provisions of Obamacare. Chief Justice Roberts, in rendering the opinion of the court, declared that the individual mandate be a tax. There are certainly many things that we would find objectionable that is done with our tax money, but we cannot morally withhold taxes because of that objection. Yes, the individual mandate and accompanying HHS guidelines requiring contraception and abortifacients puts perhaps the least amount of space between the taxpayer and the program administration, but God, through his servant of the Supreme Court, has reminded us that it is still a tax. While petitioning the government for a change in policy through lawsuits in the courts, conversations with lawmakers, and elections are all viable options, is civil disobedience and non-payment of this tax really an option for the Christian? And don't get me wrong, this policy and its accompanying penalties or taxes are abhorrent and must be changed. We must fight this atrocity tooth and nail by all means possible within our vocation. But absent permission granted by the government through the form of a stay or a safe harbor executive order, is noncompliance really an option for the Christian? Thank you all very much for all that you do.
Well, I think you've answered your own question. I think you've put it very, very well. Now, look, when does civil disobedience, is it required of the Christian? In any case, when every other means has been exhausted for changing these things, and the order still stands, do this contrary to what God says, then the Christian must disobey and be willing to suffer whatever consequences result. I really have no problem with someone saying, coming to the conclusion, a different conclusion than that of our caller, and saying, look, but my conscience says I can't pay it, but I'm willing to go to jail. I have no problem with a person like that. They're acting consistently, and they're acting as Christians often have when they believe that they must obey God rather than men. Now, there's a big difference between that and making it an excuse not to do so. I think one of the things that Christians often forget is that there is laid before us many legal and political means that we are free to use at any time. Now, they may cost us something. They may cost us a lot, but we are free to use them anytime in trying to change these things that we think would or could require us to act against God's clear word. I mean, the very least of which is just the right to register a protest to these things, rather than simply, and I think this is where I'm probably in line with the caller, rather than simply jumping to the conclusion, well, it's time to disobey. seek the means, the legal and the political means that are given to us, to try to avoid being required to obey an unjust law that requires us to disobey God. And if all other means are exhausted, then you are left with no choice but to disobey. By the way, the Issues Etc. comment line, it's always open. It's there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, middle of the night, early in the morning. Makes no difference if you have a question, a comment, a show criticism, a show suggestion. You can give us a call, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. It's always there to take your questions and your comments, especially there for our beloved on-demand listeners. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend a little more time going through your email. We'll also be listening to more of the Issues Etc. comment line on this Monday afternoon, November the 19th. And before this hour is out, we will share our picks for Issues Etc. blog of the week at the very beginning of the week here on this Monday afternoon. Stay tuned.
Issues, etc. What does this mean? We want to hear from you. Why do you listen? How has it helped you? What are your favorite topics? Who are your favorite guests? And what makes Issues, etc. unique? Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues, etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Issues, etc. What does this mean? 618-223-8382.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, November the 19th. A little out of order, but because we got cut short on Friday because of some more timely pressing news that we wanted to cover on Friday's program. We're back at listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line a little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. In hour two of the program, we'll spend the first few minutes talking with Dr. Larry Rasht, remembering 13th century princess and philanthropist Elizabeth of Hungary. She's remembered by the church on this day. And then George Conger will join us from Get Religion. We'll be talking about several issues covered in the media, in particular the New York Times, with regard to religion, and then a sermon review. We'll be reviewing an end of the year, that is not end of the calendar year, but end of the church year sermon from Pastor David Peterson, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, in the last half hour of Issues, Etc.
As you are well aware, there's this, it's a kind of a professional social networking site called LinkedIn. I have an account I set up a couple years ago, but I never check. I never use it. Okay. And I've kind of bemoaned it. I said, I keep getting these invitations to get LinkedIn. Okay. I put it off. However, Dr. Richard Schuette, once a regular guest on the show of Concordia College in Ann Arbor, Michigan, I haven't been able to get a hold of him, email, phone, anything. I just received an invitation to get LinkedIn by Dr. Richard Schuette.
You did.
So I'm going to be on LinkedIn.
See, that stuff just confuses me. It's all I can do to handle Facebook. I don't. Twitter scares me a little bit. My wife now, it's Pinterest. I mean, it's not just Pinterest. It's Pinterest all the time. It's our weekly menu comes from Pinterest now. So, and then what? Tumblr and the ones with the photographs and the Instagram, all that. That's for the younger mind than mine, I think.
You know, our listeners now can share Issues, Etc. audio segments via Pinterest.
Oh, can they?
Yes.
Oh, that's true. We put a little, it's very simple. Believe me, I don't know what happens once you press the button, but right below the audio, you'll see something shared on Facebook and something shared on Pinterest too. I was going to say for the ladies out there, but I know there are guys who go to Pinterest too.
Oh, Craig shares his Fridays when he gets on during listener email on his Pinterest account.
Does he?
He shares it. Yeah, I saw it. Well, but I didn't see it because I don't have one. Beth showed me. Craig loves Pinterest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Craig told us about Pinterest before you and I even know what it was. I remember sitting in a meeting. He goes, do you think we should like share the audio on Pinterest? You're like, what are you talking about, Craig? And he knew about it before we did. He's got a younger wife.
He's 10 years younger than we are.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
What do you know? There you
and
go.
That Tori is one hip girl. All right, Robert. How do we address those who subscribe to once saved, always saved?
Well, I guess he's asking the general question of how do we respond to the teaching of once saved, always saved in Scripture. It's a tempting teaching. It certainly is. Because, and it's tempting, especially for people who want to understand, as Scripture does clearly teach, that our salvation is God's work from beginning to end, that He not only has secured our salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ, but He has, by the power of His Holy Spirit through His Word, communicated that salvation by faith to us. Solely, that's His work too, and that He holds us fast in that faith all our lives long in spite of ourselves. He maintains us in that Christian faith, and He delivers us finally to glory in the resurrection. It's all His work from the beginning to end. The Bible teaches that quite clearly. We do not want to say anything that would call that into question in any way whatsoever, because it is a central teaching of Scripture, that our salvation is God's work from beginning to end. And that's why once saved, always saved is often a tempting teaching, but it's a false teaching because it's not taught by Scripture. It might seem to follow logically from, as it said, divine monergism. That's God acting alone to save and secure and sanctify and finally glorify His people. But it may, I don't know if it follows logically or not. It just doesn't follow when it comes to Scripture. So I would say, why do you want to teach once saved, always saved? Sometimes called eternal security or perseverance of the saints. Why do you want to teach that? Why do you want to believe it? And if someone says, because my salvation is God's work from beginning to end, and He is the only security. If God has saved me, He's going to keep me saved. And I would say, you know what? That is true, but that doesn't mean that you can't fall away. You say, well, why would you say that? Because the Bible says it. Because Jesus and the apostles repeatedly and quite often warn against just that happening, falling away from the faith. They even describe people who have fallen away from the faith, made shipwreck of the faith. So this creates a tension. The tension that is created is between maintaining as Scripture does, that our salvation is God's work from beginning to end, and maintaining another equally important teaching of Scripture, and that is we are warned against falling away. And if Scripture warns us against it, then it must be a real possibility even for the elect, even for Christians. Now, someone might say, well, then is it God's fault if someone falls away? Well, Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches that if someone does fall away, it's entirely their own fault. Do I get some credit if I don't fall away? Is that my way of somehow getting myself into the salvation equation? No. If those who persevere to the end deserve no credit for doing so, although God does reward them, they deserve no credit for doing so because they had no part in that. Was God's work. If someone perseveres to the end, it was all God's work. And if someone falls away, it was entirely the man's fault. Well, how am I going to know I won't fall away? Leave that to God. I would say, pray. Pray that you not fall into temptation. Pray that you not fall away. Pray as Scripture instructs us to pray against your own falling away. Now, is it your prayer that keeps you from falling away? No. Just ask God to keep his promise that he would preserve you in both body and soul until the very end. And you know what? He's really good about keeping his promises. He's really, really good at it. And he has a spotless 100%, no fail record of keeping his promises. Now someone says, well, does that mean no one can be certain of their salvation? And I say, absolutely not. Everyone should be certain of their salvation in Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes in Jesus should be certain of their salvation. The certainty lies not in you or your ability to stay or not fall away, but in Christ alone. You know, we often think about this fear that people might have. And here's one of the dangers of once saved, always saved. It leads to another false teaching. Like all false teachings, it leads to another one. And that is, well, you know, if someone did appear to fall away, they never were a Christian to begin with. That's the logical conclusion from the false teaching of once saved, always saved. I guess they were never a Christian to begin with. We place our security not on, well, I guess I must really be a Christian, therefore I can't fall away, but on Jesus has procured my salvation. He's promised to hold fast to me, promised to never let me go. You see, then your security isn't in you or in, I guess I must really be a Christian or I must really be the elect. But now your security is entirely in Christ.
There's a great resource, real short article written by the late Dr. George Wohlenberg,
hey.
Falling Away from Faith. If you put in a search engine, Falling Away from Faith by George F. Wohlenberg.
B-U-R-G.
Yep. It's some great Bible passages dealing with once saved, always saved.
I was just thinking about George Wohlenberg. Well, I was thinking about him last week because I mentioned him to you, Jeff. And I remember interviewing him, and I'm sure we interviewed him about Once Saved, Always Saved. At some point. And that guy scared the dickens out of me. Did he intimidate you?
Oh, yeah. He looked like, I mean, you talk about cowboy. You talk about a John Wayne of the Lutheran Church Missouri
you
Synod.
You bet he was. Cowboy boots. And then I think he had, if I recall, this may be somebody else. He had like specially made clergy shirts that had the cowboy yoke on them. And then I think he even wore like the cowboy jacket that was cut like a, you know, like a Western kind of cut jacket. He could stare through you and make you feel like he was pointing a six shooter at you. I loved that guy. Absolutely loved that guy.
He used to be fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and was president of the Montana District for a long time.
22 years he was. Yep. Yes. Amazing guy.
Email Eric in Jefferson City, Missouri. Just read Todd's article in the Issues Etc. Journal on the proper way to go about voting, if I may put it that way. When I go to the polls to vote, I have one type of neighbor on my mind above all others, my neighbor in the womb, the unborn neighbor. Is that the type of approach Todd was thinking of when he wrote this Issues Etc. Journal article? Just curious. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening in Jefferson City, Missouri. Eric.
Absolutely. I mean, I say in that article, if you haven't read it for yourself, you can subscribe absolutely free to the Issues Etc. Journal. There's a big red button at the top of our homepage, issuesetc.org. When you click there, just enter your email address and you've got a free subscription right there to the Issues Etc. Journal. Craig will send it right out to you. And in the latest edition, I have written an article called Vote for the Other Guy. And that's actually what I was thinking about the entire time I was writing the article, was, look, who falls through the cracks when someone votes their own self-interest? Not just the neighbor in general, but sometimes the neighbor who needs us the most. Someone votes in their own self-interest, and I was looking at, like, to me, it's kind of the Libertarian Party is the punching bag here. You go to their thing, what does it say about abortion? It says it's personal choice. Come on. We don't hold any position on this. It's a personal choice. Well, when you adopt I'm going to vote my own self-interest, guess who falls through the cracks? The neighbor that needs you the most, the neighbor that can do nothing for himself, the unborn. I was thinking about that. You're absolutely right. It's like you read my mind. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes here in the first hour, and before we get through with this 10 minutes, we'll have Issues Etc. Blog of the week. What's up?
Where else do you go? Wasn't the bump music going in the break, Write Myself a Letter by Nat King Cole? Mm-hmm. And then we come out, was that REO Speedwagon?
REO Speedwagon.
In Your Letter? Mm-hmm. Wow. We cover the span of music here, don't we? Somebody actually came in last week, remember that, from Houston? He's an oil worker, he's an engineer, and he's stationed a lot in Libya. Bruce Blake, thank you, Craig. Mm-hmm. And came in, and he loves how, and they were just marveling at, like, how the bump music spans from generation to generation. You know?
Except I have noticed, with very few exceptions, it kind of cuts off at about 19, generally kind of cuts off at about, except for the country bumps that we do, about 1999. That's about where it stops.
That's true. But
where
what,
our knowledge of pop music
but
ends.
You know what? What's come out since then? I mean, if you think, Craig's always talking about this. Think
those whippersnappers, no good music come out.
I'm just saying, if you think about the genre, just think of it like just local St. Louis.
That's true.
How many radio stations are there appeal to music post 2000?
Well, you're right. There's maybe one in this market that actually does post 2000 music. Everybody else is doing everything pre-2000.
Amazingly, at the last Commission on Theology and Church Relations meeting, during a break, of course, the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Center, Herb Miller, and I were talking about that, about how these radio stations here in St. Louis, like KSHE and K-Hits, are really playing his kind of music, you know, that, like he was growing up. So
that's true.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I can't believe I just said that because Craig's been on this mantra a long time. They haven't produced any good music in the last, you know, decade or something or other.
No, I don't agree with that. My taste in music tend far more toward the current stuff than the older stuff. If you look at my iPod, there's a lot more current stuff. I'm not going to let you look at my iPod. No, Craig. He wants to look at my iPod because he's going to go through. I know what he's going to do. He's going to go through and decide which songs aren't manly enough. That's his criteria for music. It's got to be manly music. You find a lot of stuff in there that would make you lose respect for me, Craig. I can guarantee you. But
Friday Night Fish Fry. That's
bump not
music,
in there.
Martian no. Boogie. Those two bump musics that Craig's always pleading for us to play during issues, etc. Anyway, how did we get? Oh, we were talking about the bump music going.
Hey,
the
you
break.
Let us down that
sorry
rat
about
hole.
That. Well, I just had that conversation just recently with the first vice. I mean, who talks with the first vice president of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about, you know, 80s.
You know, I bet you
music.
He's glad when you show up over there because you're the only person that just walk and speak sonato speak to him the whole time. You know, the kind of the yes, the no. I'm always nodding my head even when I disagree with you. You know, remember what that was like?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was like?
Right,
talking
right.
to people that when they completely disagree with you, they're still nodding their head yes. It was amazing. I don't know how they coordinated the movements. There has to be some kind of surgery that they do to the spine to coordinate the movements that when you're saying no, you're nodding yes. It's amazing. He must really be relieved just to talk to an ordinary average
we
human
love
being
Herb Miller.
That speaks
we
English.
Loved him when he was Southern Illinois District President. We love him as first vice president of the Lutheran Church.
It's all
Missouri
love.
Synod.
It's just a big old wave of love coming from Collinsville.
Or as I call him, Koinonia.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah. No, okay. I just came up with that right now. Next time I will, though. I shall. At the January CTCR meeting, I say, hey, Koinonia.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's see here. This is Adrian, Pastor Adrian Piazza from Noblesville, Indiana, speaking about your Issues, etc. journal article. He said, I did not get to read it until after the election. I want to thank you for writing it. It was one of the best things I have read on Lutheran vocation and democracy. I pray that it will be reprinted every year. God bless you and Issues, etc. And thanks you for the kind words, Pastor Piazza.
Well, let's make a note, okay? Let's make a note that when we come around November 4th, every year, we just run a spot that says, you know, it's election time, and then just a spot that says you can get this article. We'll put it up as a page for people just to read, you know, and just say here's the link to this thing or whatever, so that they can read it. That's a good idea.
This email comes from Scott in Puyallup, Washington. He says, "I was out on my daily run today, listening to the Issues Etc. Classic, commemorating the 10th anniversary of Issues Etc. Priming myself for Issues, etc. 24. See, he was in training. That's what I keep talking. We got to get kind of a training regiment for Issues, etc. 24, our live 24-hour annual broadcast.
Well, what would it look like?
I don't know.
It's the most sedentary 24 hours of my life.
I think maybe you and I should go to the gym with Craig and lift, you know, metal or something. I don't know, you know. But I'm thinking we need more cardio.
I'm all right. I'm getting as much cardio as I possibly can because I sit all day long. 24 hours, I sit here for 24 hours. I guess I should train for it. I don't know.
Anyway.
You know what I wanted? Remember what I wanted years ago? I wanted an exercise ball, one of those big rubber exercise balls to sit
right.
on in here.
Well, Craig didn't
so
think that was manly enough,
so
and he
keep
pays
my
the bills.
Core,
so it got
core tense the entire time.
Yep.
They're not that expensive, Craig.
Craig vetoed it.
And that would, and you know, that they say if you sit on one of those things instead of an office chair like I have here, it actually is better for you. Your posture is improved. Do you see how I sit in here? I sit like an old man. You can barely even see me over the wall, can you?
I think it's because you're shrinking. Anyway, I just had an idea. This could be the YouTube promotional video for Issues, etc. 24.
Our training video.
Our training.
training video, the three of us training for Issues Etc. 24, drinking energy drinks. What else? Smoking.
Smoking.
I told this story. There's a guy behind us here. We're in this little strip complex. There's a guy behind us who had a universal weight gym outside. I think rusted. It stayed outside all year round, okay?
Talk about Collinsville.
The guy would be out there
sitting
here doing some bench press, get up, pick up his beer in between reps, and smoke a cigarette. It was classic.
Oh,
that
great.
Would be like us training for Issues Etc. 24.
Yeah. Well, I actually increased my sprints. I do sprints up the hill.
You sprint?
Every night.
I thought you jogged.
I do. I jog. Oh, no. I jog about a mile and
I can
a half,
take
2 miles.
Wilkins sprinting. Wilkins jogging. Wilkins sprinting. That's taking it to a whole other level.
I do like a mile and a half, 2 miles, and then I run sprints up the hill. I run like 6-7 sprints up the hill. And I increased my sprints before Issues Etc. 24. Didn't help that.
Better than me. We better finish this email here. Scott says, you were offering a few platitudes about Jeff in your speech when you happened to mention Jeff's phone habits. I'm sorry, Todd, but at that point, my brain totally locked up, fixated on the memories of conversations past with Jeff. I always loved talking with Jeff on the phone, the great voice and his ability to make everyone feel like they're his best friend. And then, in an instant, the conversation has been terminated and Jeff has got somebody else on the speed dial before I can get the phone off my ear. What just happened? As I'm running along, out of the blue, my mind shifts back to the present. I hear you say, the phone is hanging up while he's saying goodbye. Yeah, ain't that the truth? Talk to you later. Click. Thanks for the email, Scott in Washington.
Yeah, many people have commented on that when Jeff is talking to you on the phone, well, it doesn't work this way with me. When Jeff is talking on the phone with me, he's usually ordering one of his mocha lattes, and Jeff always calls me when he's like, I guess, about town, because I always hear him say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, and he'll just start up a conversation with someone while I'm on the phone with him. Okay, this is what he'll do. Now, with other people that he cares about, then it is true. It's like Bill Clinton. You are the center of his universe when you have those few minutes on the phone with him. You are the most important person in the world. He knows your name. He knows your wife's names. He knows everything about you. He cares deeply. He looks deep into your eyes over the phone line. And then the minute the conversation is over, you are forgotten like yesterday's newspaper. Whew. And I can't remember how it ends. We don't even say goodbye anymore. We just say anything else? Nope. Click. There's no goodbyes anymore. That's our working relationship.